I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Dave and Dejanovic. Dave and Dejanovic with Jason Perry of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, sitting in for Dave Noriega. Thank you so much.
So glad to be with you today.
You picked a perfect day to substitute for Dave. And here's why. We are awaiting some pretty, I think, landmark decisions from the Supreme Court of the United States. So let's dive into two of the cases, because if we sat here and dove into six or seven of them, we'd be here all day. Mm-hmm. I think these are two of the cases that we probably really care about in Utah. One is this student free speech issue.
Right.
We talked about it on the show when Greg Skordis was sitting in with Dave Noriega a couple of weeks ago. It has to do with Snapchat. And then the second one we want to talk to is the one you're extremely passionate about, and it's called NIL. Just give us a brief on that, Attorney Perry.
It's this name, image, likeness question, something that's cropping up all over the country. We have many, many states. We've got 12-plus states that have passed their own individual laws about this. And there really is the question, should athletes in college sports be allowed to make money off of their own name, their image, or their likeness? Anything from sponsorships to video games to cameo appearances.
Ooh, video games.
Yes.
You have a lot of expertise in this because...
Well, I serve on the working group for the name, image, likeness for the Pac-12, because we are working very closely with our congressional delegation, because you have not only a Supreme Court case coming up on this particular issue, we have Congress looking at a couple different options about how to address this issue as well, because the federal government is very much interested in saying, well, if we have a patchwork of approaches in all these different states, maybe the federal government ought to step in and address this issue. And it is a big one, particularly for our athletes, and it has the potential, particularly in the Supreme Court case, to change everything about college sports.
Can you go in depth with me on that in 4 minutes? And for now, can you talk to me about the case that I know, I think a lot of parents are curious as to how the Supreme Court will rule on the Snapchat case. So this, in brief, if I may, Your Honor, has to do with a jilted cheerleader, a high school cheerleader back east. She, on a Saturday, went to a place called the Cocoa Hut and vented that she did not make the varsity cheer squad. I mean, what girl who's trying to make the varsity cheer squad doesn't make the varsity cheer squad does not feel jilted? I mean, I cried when I got cut from being
true.
The high school mascot. I mean, I wanted to be the high school husky dog. I tried out and they said, you're not good enough to be a dog.
You couldn't be the husky dog.
No. And I went home and I cried. But this girl goes to the Cocoa Hut with her friend. She posts a video where she vents on Snapchat and she is disparaging to the school. She's disparaging to the cheer squad. She's disparaging even to the softball team. So she sues, and her ACLU attorney argues before the Supreme Court, this eventually makes it all the way to the Supreme Court, that the school's overstepped, that you can't punish kids for free speech off campus after hours. In fact, the podcast The Daily, done by the New York Times, I listened to that recently, and here's what the ACLU argued.
The ACLU lawyer...
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court.
...says no. Says that it needs to be under school jurisdiction, school supervision, school sanction.
So schools can prohibit pro-drug messages at school, but not elsewhere. They can ban profanity at school, but not at home. So too, they can punish disruptive speech at school, but not at a convenience store on the weekend.
Jason Perry, you're an attorney. You've been an attorney for a long time. You run the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the U. Let's pretend like you sit on the Supreme Court.
Oh, boy.
How do you rule in this case?
Yeah, well, first of all legal advice at your own peril right now.
Coming from thanks for the disclaimer.
Well, so this is very interesting how this case has changed from another landmark case the Supreme Court has been looking at, certainly the lower courts as well. You may recall this Vietnam era case, Tinker v. Des Moines, where a student wore an armband.
Yeah, an armband.
In protest of the
Vietnam War.
Exactly. And the line from the court here was interesting. It's what's going to shed light on where I think this court will go now. They said that people do not shed their constitutional freedom of speech rights at the schoolhouse gate. That was the idea. When does this happen? So, but right now, when it comes to Snapchat and the new things that are happening and the ability for people, you know, where is that border? It used to be, hey, we got sort of a school border when you're under the jurisdiction of a school, for example. I mean, do I shed some of my rights there? But what happens now when there are no borders? When
social media just opens up the world. I mean, there are no boundaries at all. So, do you think the Supreme Court will rule in favor of this student, that a student can say anything they want off campus, after hours, unless it's not perhaps like some sort of a threat against the school?
That's right.
And this wasn't a threat.
It wasn't
was
a threat.
She was just mad.
That's what I think is likely to happen in this case. Following this precedent here, this First Amendment right will extend from pretty much wherever you are, and particularly when it comes to social media and, you know, the new forms of media right now. Really, are we going to be able to say a school is going to say, I have 24/7 jurisdiction over what you say? Probably not going to stand is what I predict here.
Interesting. So that you think that, and we don't know when the Supreme Court's going to rule. We expected them to have some sort of a decision last week, and here it is, Monday.
we'll hear very soon. But there's a lot of history behind this issue, but the courts traditionally have stood behind the First Amendment rights for people to say what they want to say. In this particular case, the person didn't say anything illegal, didn't do something that would go after them necessarily. Just someone was really upset. They said some words the school didn't like, but can the school say, we have some jurisdiction over what you say when you're at home through your own Snapchat? I think it's going to be a hard
Saturday
stretch.
At the Cocoa Hut.
At the Cocoa Hut, particularly because of that.
All right. Attorney Jason Perry, also director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, since we have you in the hot seat, let's talk about NCAA athlete compensation. Tell us about this case and why this is so critical to athletes who, for example, play at the University of Utah, Utah State University, maybe even, college athletes who play junior colleges.
Yes. Well, so this goes to the heart of the governing body itself with the NCAA. They have these rules about how athletes can be compensated, and there are a lot of rules associated with
it. So they can't take free tennis shoes?
Anything.
You can't take a free drink at 7-Eleven?
You cannot take free anything.
You can't have your face on a billboard in the small town where you're the star pitcher, for example?
Mm-hmm. Are you worrying about these things? Because if you had been the official mascot for the Huskies, maybe some of these restrictions would be put in place. But this question is whether or not these rules violate federal antitrust laws. And it's just such an interesting question. And it's particularly interesting, as you and I have talked just a moment ago, in light of Congress already going after some of these very difficult issues themselves when it comes to how you compensate athletes. So you have, on the one side, what you were just saying, can you give them anything? And the answer is pretty much no. I mean, everything is completely regulated. Even, it's just like what you give them, but it extends to even things on campus that you can't do with potential athletes. I don't know if you know all of this. Like if we have a recruit, we're trying to get to the University of Utah, for example, you can't give them tickets to a game. You can't do all kinds of things. It's one of those areas of law and rule that is very well defined. They do not want athletes to be able to receive compensation of any kind by virtue of their position as an athlete.
This decision by the Supreme Court could peel back those restrictions.
Yeah, it has the potential of doing that. And if it does, it really changes everything about college sports. So if they do peel that back, and then you add potential legislation saying, not only do we peel back some of those rules, but now we're going to open it up saying you can be sponsored by Nike, for example, or something like that. It has the potential, all these things taken in full context, the ability to really impact college sports to a degree we haven't seen before.
This sounds huge.
It is huge.
We expect a ruling soon? A decision soon?
Well, we think so.
We think so. At 11:30, in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to get Mark Harlan, who's the athletic director for the University of Utah, on the line. He's going to weigh into this with us as well.
Well, I'm so excited to have him here because he's been on the cutting edge of this. He has been in those meetings with the Pac-12 talking about this issue.
And then after our discussion with Mark Harlan, the athletic director at the U, we're going to take listener phone calls, Jason.
Yes, can't wait to hear.
I'm sure they got a million questions for you about NCAA athletes. Should they be compensated or not?
Can't wait to hear.
We got much more straight ahead with Jason Perry of the Hinckley Institute of Politics here on the David Dujanovic Show. I can't wait for the 10 o'clock hour.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.